Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Baseball Podcast. If this is your first time listening, thanks for joining us. I'm Bobby Sylvester, and you can follow me on Twitter at BobbyFantasyPro. Our guest today is Nate Grimm of RotoWorld.com. Hey Nate, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you can all follow Nate on Twitter at Nate_Grimm. And speaking of Twitter, Nate, I saw this note from the Ace of Spader last night. Nate, this is amazing, okay? Through the first 855 career games, Pete Rose had 1,027 hits. Jose Altuve, 1,077. He's on a better pace than Pete Rose. He's batting 312. Pete Rose is batting 298. Better on base percentage and slugging percentage, too. This is a special player we're seeing.
Yeah, no, all he's got to do is, you know, keep it up for the next, like, 15 years.
30 years.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's going to be tough to do. Perhaps even more amazing was Byron Buxton's homer the other night on Tuesday. I mean, it wasn't that incredible, but you better believe I was pumped up to see him start to turn his season around because I was hyping him up so much.
Yeah, you know, we all thought that after last September that this would finally be it. And then he comes out and he's just brutal in basically the first couple weeks. And so hopefully this is the beginning of what we've all been expecting. But yeah, it's hard to really trust him, right? I mean, we've waited so long for this that sort of like, well, believe it when you see it.
If you're feeling bad about Byron Buxton, there's a player in the Dodgers minor league system who's had his cup of tea, Trace Thompson. You guys might remember him. His brother's Clay Thompson over there in the NBA. He is 1-for-68 so far this season. 1-for-68, guys. So if you're feeling bad about Byron Buxton, at least he's not Trace Thompson.
There you go. The grass is always greener.
Yeah, so let's move on over to the news. And man, I'll tell you what, there's a ton this week. I was writing my notes for the show, and DL hits just kept pouring into my newsfeed. So we'll start with Thor. Syndergaard's out at least 3 months. They're saying that's a conservative estimate, might be longer, which is just a bummer for a bunch of people who drafted him super early. Partially torn lat. Should we just go ahead and stick a fork in the Mets now?
They can't seem to. I mean, it's like a running joke, right, with the Mets and the pitcher injuries. And yet here we are again talking about Mets pitcher injuries. So it's tough to see them. I mean, Harvey's not the Matt Harvey that, you know, he was a couple years ago, or even the Matt Harvey that he was kind of in spring. And so, you know, Jezelman is having a little bit of issues, although I think some of that's bad luck. They've got kind of the arms that you could envision it. I mean, if Wheeler holds up, you know, if Harvey can regain a little bit of that form. But at this point, I mean, geez, that's you're basically asking for everything to go right.
They've got four really nice outfielders, but besides that, their lineup's not very good either. I think they're just kind of done. I mean, we've counted out the Mets before, and they tend to surprise us, but there's just so many question marks with this team right now, and there's a bunch of good teams in the NL, so I think they're probably done. Now, what about keeping Noah Syndergaard? I've heard he was dropped in a couple leagues, and I kind of laughed and said, you guys better hurry and scoop him up, but now I'm seeing 3 months, and that's conservative. I mean, he might be out for the full season here. Would you just drop him and pick up someone else?
Every league is different, obviously, right? So, I mean, it depends on the parameters of your league. If you have a bunch of DL spots and you can stash him until either he comes back or until you can't afford to stash him anymore, then obviously, I mean, he's one of those guys that's definitely a stash candidate. But, I mean, if you don't have the bench space or you don't have a DL spot, I'm fine with dropping him at this point because, really, I mean, when he comes back, do we even know what he's going to be? I mean, it's a torn lat. So I'm okay with cutting him loose in a redraft league.
I'm still telling people to pick him up if he was dropped. I mean, even if he's 70% of his former self.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's sure. A really good pitcher. I mean, that's a fantasy pitcher. And we think about D. Gordon, who was on the shelf for, 3 months last season, and a lot of people were keeping him. So I would say definitely in these deeper leagues, keep Syndergaard. If you have a lot of bench spots, keep Syndergaard. But if you're playing in one of these leagues where, like, you've got two DL spots – or one DL spot, or no bench spots, yeah, you got to cut ties. It's just, like you said, it depends on the league.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's so many, everything is context dependent, right? I mean, we get questions, I'm sure you do as well on Twitter. Hey, you know, this guy, or should I cut this guy? And the next question is always like, well, I mean, what is your league like? So it's everything depends on, you know, all of those factors, DL spots, bench spots, who else is available, how deep is your league. So you have to make that decision for yourself. But yeah, you know, it what you do with him kind of depends on what your league looks like.
Yeah, if you guys are listening and you want to send in questions to Twitter, you can also hit us up at mailbag@fantasypros.com. We do the listener mailbag once a week on this show, and we're going to be doing it for the next show this week. So send those in. But yeah, tell us the parameters of your league. And really, the shorter the question is and the more clever, the better chance you have to get on the show. So just remember that, mailbag@fantasypros.com. Now, Nate, we also found out Adam Eaton is out for the season. And it's just a shame. You know, they went out and traded so much to get this guy. And now he's gone. He's not going to be able to help their defense. I was liking the Nationals to win the National League. At this point, I think they fall back with some of these other teams. They fall back with the Dodgers and the Cubs. I hate to say it. And I even think the Diamondbacks are in this mix for one of the best teams in the National League right now. And with the way the Cardinals are playing right now, and I'm not just saying this a homer, but they look pretty good if they can just stop throwing the ball away.
Right. That's kind of been their MO is if they can stop shooting themselves in the foot every game, then they might actually win some.
Now, in regards to his replacement, Michael Taylor is probably going to be getting full playing time in a great lineup. Former top 50 prospect, some speed, some power. Is he a guy you're interested in picking up, Nate?
He's one of those sort of like perennially interesting players if he ever gets enough playing time, because the speed and the power, definitely plays if he actually can string together some good games, which has been his problem. I mean, every time he's gotten an opportunity, he hits about 220. So, you know, the opportunity is once again there for him, and he's got enough talent to really be a difference maker. So he's a guy I'd take a flyer on if I had a flyer to take. But, you know, what are we expecting from him? I mean, the range of outcomes is huge.
Now, we haven't really talked about this on the show. It happened about 8 or 9 days ago, but I think we should talk about it. King Felix has shoulder inflammation. He hasn't really looked great. We all know he took a big step backwards this season. Is the best of King Felix behind us? Or do you think when he bounces back from this shoulder issue, we might see a good King Felix again?
No, I faded Felix. Even going back to last year, I wasn't going to own him in any leagues just because I think his name goes further than his game at this point.
Yeah.
So no, I mean, I'm not expecting anything. He will be perfectly sort of passable, like a 4 ERA, but that doesn't really play as well in leagues, especially in leagues where his name, is recognized.
I'm right with you. You know, he kind of reminds me of CC Sabathia's career path. And you think about what he was after he faded. I think that's who King Felix is going to be the rest of his career. He'll continue to pile up some wins. He might make a case for the Hall of Fame at this point, but for fantasy purposes, I mean, he's a fringe borderline player in standard leagues. So if you can sell him, I would do it, because I think he comes back and he's just the same as he has been, which is not a very good fantasy asset.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, if there are some people that still recognize his name and still want to take a chance on him being, you know, quote unquote, King Felix, then yeah, I'd be selling at this point.
And maybe wait until he's about to come back off the DL, because you don't want to look desperate, like saying, hey, I'll trade him now. And then you try to trade him 3 weeks later when you don't get the asking price you want. So I'd probably wait a few weeks. And then when people are getting excited about him, seeing his name in the news, he's throwing bullpen sessions and stuff, I would bring King Felix into trade conversations. Maybe you can get the over on somebody. Now, all these pitcher issues, we've got Cole Hamels, Corey Kluber. Kluber just has a stiff back for 10 days. I mean, this might be something that pops up here and there, but I think he's going to be fine. Now, Cole Hamels, 2 months with an oblique strain. Usually this is like a 15, 20 day type of injury. This must be a bad oblique. They might be like thinking about taking his oblique apart.
The oblique thing is always terrifying. And this one, you know, is no exception. I mean, this seems like it came out of nowhere. It was just sort of like, oh, he's going to miss a start, and then now he's going to miss 2 months. So obliques are such a nasty, sort of open-ended injury that even 2 months, I mean, if they're projecting from the outset 2 months, I have no idea what that means, you know, 2 months down the road, whether he's even going to be close.
Yeah, I've never even heard that before, so I don't know what to make of it. But same kind of thing as King Felix. Like, if they're saying 2 months for an oblique strain, it just makes me think it might be even worse than that, because, they tend to be very conservative on these things and give them 15 to 20 days, like I said. So there might be something going on there that we don't know about. Another relief pitcher injury. Sean Doolittle, shoulder strain. Looks like he's going to be out for a while. And this Oakland closer situation, I've been staying away from it, but it looks like Madsen might be getting some more work now.
Right, which is exactly why you stay away from it, right? I mean, Casilla got the first handful of chances. Doolittle kind of filled in when there was a lefty heavy presence in the ninth. And then now Madsen's kind of, you know, getting some more runs. So, I mean, it would require either a very deep league where saves are at such a premium that it's worth owning one of those guys, or one of them to really take the reins and rattle off about five or six straight saves and get all those calls in the ninth inning for me to invest in either one.
I'll tell you what, I'd rather have a Carl Edwards. Have you seen what he's doing for the Cubs? I mean, if they would just put this guy in the rotation, because he was a starting pitcher of the minors, I think they would have something really, really special. And maybe they're taking it easy on his arm. You know, he hasn't thrown over 110 innings or something throughout his career, but it's a special pitcher there. And then Tommy Conley, spelled a weird way, K-A-H-N-L-E. He's given up 3 hits. His whip right now is 0.30, hasn't given up an ERA. In fact, if you guys know the advanced stat XFIP, it kind of gives you an indication of what their ERA should be based on their underlying stats. He broke XFIP. His XFIP right now is negative. That's how well this guy's pitching. So I picked him up in a couple leagues, and I'm very happy about it. I'd rather have that helping all my my ratios than help him with, you know, 2 or 3 saves here or there.
Yeah, and that's, you know, especially in deeper leagues where you know, every closer and then some are going to be owned. You know, those guys, Tommy Conley, CJ or Carl Edwards, you know, Andrew Miller, those types that aren't getting saves on a regular basis but are just, you know, crushing. Kyle Barraclough is another one. You know, those are guys that end up getting owned.
And some of them might even take over the closer job. I think it's only a matter of time before Barraclough takes over. He had great stuff last year. His command looks like it's more in check. He could put up the same type of numbers, maybe better than Craig Kimbrell did last season. And he was drafted in the top 120.
Yeah, that'll play.
Now, Ryan Braun has a tight trapezius muscle. I don't know much about this injury, but it looks like he's going to get some time on the DL too. Are you worried about this for him long term, or is he going to bounce back from it normal?
I'm worried about it only because Ryan Braun always seems to be dealing with something, right? I mean,
you know,
if it's not this, it's a hamstring or something. So, you know, or the thumb injury, I worry about it only because he seems to be one of those perpetually injured players. And so, you know, maybe he comes back from this in the minimum 10 days, but you know, how long is this going to bother him? It seems like we've seen injuries bug him over the course of an entire season. So I don't like that this is popping up in early May. So I it's not enough to really do anything about it. I mean, you can't drop him. I don't know that you're going to get fair enough
of course
trading him. But, you know, you're just kind of stuck with him at this point, and you're just hoping for the best.
He kind of reminds me of a J.D. Drew. Like, whenever he plays, he's great, but you know he's going to miss 150 plate appearances at some point during the season. And it's funny, you know, I adjust the rest of the season projections during the week, and I was looking at Ryan Braun, and I'm like, I'm not even going to touch that. I mean, we projected injuries like this. It's built in. So when it happens, you don't even touch it. And, you know, this is what you drafted as a fantasy owner, and it's going to be all right. He's going to come back. He's going to hit 25 homers. He's going to steal 15, 20 bases, bat about around 300. So, you know, don't be pulling your hair out. This is what you drafted. You got what you deserved, and it's all right. It's still going to be a good value pick, in my opinion.
It's like Rich Hill. You know, you bake in the 18
exactly
starts he's going to make and then the 12 that he's going to miss. So
I'm fine with the blister problems as long as he doesn't go to the bullpen. I'm scared about that. And I've got all these people, you know, tweeting at me like, dude, you are killing me with this Rich Hill pick. If he goes to the bullpen, never listen to your show again. So sorry, guys. I mean, I don't think he's going to go to the bullpen, but it's justified if you want to hate me. And that happens. So we'll see. I'm still crossing my fingers. I think it's going to be all right, but it is a little scary.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, Shelby Miller out for the season. We kind of saw the writing on the wall. I mean, he's getting a second, a third opinion. It was not looking good, and it's a shame because he was looking like the old Shelby Miller, even though he's pitching in Chase Field, and there's really nothing you can do here. Cut him, pick someone up. I don't know. Did you think that, like, for dynasty formats, is he the type of guy you would keep? Do you think he's going to bounce back, or is this just kind of a wasted career at this point?
I don't know necessarily the parameters. I mean, if you can keep a finite number of guys, if you can only keep 6 or 8 or even 10 guys, you know, then he's not really a guy
of course not
that list because I don't. So, I mean, if you have a really deep roster that you end up, you know, getting to keep 25 guys, he might be a guy worth keeping an eye on. But even that, I mean, he was so bad last year and he showed it for a couple starts this year and then got hurt and is going to be, you know, out for 12 to 18 months. I mean, he's shooting for spring training next year. I think more realistically, like around midseason is when you can expect him back. So even next year is going to be mostly a lost year. So, I mean, I actually, the more that I talk about it, the more I'm talking myself out of keeping it all.
I agree. I imagine he goes undrafted next season. So that should tell you everything you need to know. Now, this is a player that is extremely frustrating because during the preseason, I was telling everyone, like, the hype on this guy is too good to be true. Like, there's no way Aaron Judge is going to be any kind of all-star breakout guy like everyone's calling for. I mean, he hit like 7 home runs in college. He has all this batting practice power, but he's never put it together in games. He's got all these tools. I was talking to Clinton, the producer, before the show. He's listed as 6'7", 280. This is huge. I mean, that would be huge for an NFL tight end. So everyone's all excited about him, drooling over another hot Yankees prospect. And it's just frustrating. He keeps doing it. 13 home runs now. Do you think he's just going to fall back and turn into a Chris Carter, or is this the real deal? I mean, is he going to hit 40 homers?
He might be, which, you know, Chris Carter had 40 homers, so, you know, that doesn't say a whole lot.
That's a good point, yeah.
I think he's probably got a little bit more batted ball skill than Chris Carter does. I mean, I don't think he's going to hit 220 with 40 homers, but I don't think this is what he is a guy that hits for average and for power. And so, you know, the homer power, obviously, like you're talking about, I mean, it's legit, but, you know, I don't think that he's going to end up being, you know, maybe what, if someone's trading for him today on May 3rd, I'm not sure that he's going to end up being worth whatever they paid for him.
Now, we're doing our trivia segment tomorrow, but I wanted to ask you this one just to see what you would say, since we're talking about Aaron Judge. Okay, so Aaron Judge has all these homers in his first 80 games, in his first 80 MLB games. Which Yankee is the only Yankee that has more home runs in their first 80 games than Aaron Judge?
Mickey Mantle. I don't know.
Mickey Mantle's a really good guess. He's actually number 3 on that list. It's Gary Sanchez, if you can believe it. They've got these two bashers, and then Clint Frazier's coming up too. I mean, this is going to be a dangerous team. I can't stand Gary Sanchez for the value he was going, but he's a nice young hitter. They've got some talent coming.
The sort of partial teardown they did when they acquired, Clint Frazier and, you know, but sort of didn't sell off the whole team. And then kind of just, you know, this year they're like, hey, we're going to, you know, make another run at it. Plus, we've got all these good young players. It looks very good for them.
Now, someone that a lot of people thought was going to perform like Aaron Judge is Kyle Schwarber, and he's down in the dumps. What's going on with him? Is this who he is, or is he going to bounce back out of this?
I think that it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think maybe he was overhyped because of just, you know, sort of coming up and raking, and then last year in the postseason coming back and being a guy who just basically the Indians couldn't get out. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, he's not this bad. He was a first-round pick and a high first-round pick. He did do it, you know, for whatever you want to say about small sample size. I mean, he did it at the major league level. And so, you know, we know that he's capable of it. So I think it's somewhere in between. I mean, if someone wants to sell low on him, I think he's a good buy low candidate. You know, but I don't know necessarily that he's going to be the guy maybe that people thought he was when he was, you know, crushing, I guess that was 2 years ago and then last year in the postseason.
Yeah. He's got so many holes in his swing and, you know, he can't play any defense. I think the Cubs really screwed up not trading him this winter when his stock was so high, because he proved he can bounce back. He hit all those bombs in the postseason and looked great. Maybe he can go to an AL team and be a DH, but now his stock is so much lower. I'm not so sure it's going to get that much higher. I see him as someone who bats 250, 260 tops. Kind of like a poor man's version of Miguel Sano. And I know Sano's dominating right now, but that batting average is going to come down to 270, 280 at best. And, you know, he might hit 40 homers, but I'm not so impressed with Kyle Schwarber. I think his fantasy stock was too high. And, you know, I would not be opposed to buying him because his stock is nice and low in fantasy right now, but I don't think it looks too pretty for the rest of the season.
No, I mean, that's the thing, right? Is that if you paid for him, whatever you paid for him in March is probably going to end up looking too high by the end of the season.
Yeah. Now, finally, my dad was visiting this past week, and we're really big dorks, so we like to sit back and forth and quiz each other on the baseball leaderboard, and he brought up Ivan Nova. I can't believe how great this guy is doing. Is this a fluke, or is this just good old Ray Searidge magic here?
I really do think that this is a real deal, and that, you know,
he's got one walk right now, just one walk.
Yeah, he's pounding. I mean, he's thrown first pitch strikes in 2/3 of against hitters, and so he's pounding the strike zone. He's throwing a couple pitches for strikes, and actually, I mean, throwing them very well. It's not just he's throwing them in the strike zone, but I mean, he's getting strikes. So no, I mean, this is I think a legit thing. Maybe it was the move to the National League. I mean, maybe it's a Ray Searidge thing. Maybe it's a Francisco Cervelli thing. You know, I mean, he's a pretty good catcher back there. So, but whatever it is, I mean, he's not the most sexy fantasy player because he's not going to strike out a bunch of guys. But I mean, he's proven over the last half a season last year and the first couple of starts this year that he's very reliable for ERA and WHIP.
And the interesting thing is he's always been really good the first and second time through the order. And then when he gets to that third, his ERA jumps to like 7. I'm not even exaggerating. Like, he's the worst in the MLB against third in the order. And I don't know what they changed, but it's completely changed this season. So I'm crediting it to Ray Searidge, and I think it's the real deal. I mean, again, I'm not excited about him because I like to get the Ks, but I don't think Pittsburgh's going to give him too many wins with that lineup. But I even know he's a different pitcher now all of a sudden. Now, Nate, before we jump on over and talk about some potential waiver wire pickups, I want to pause to tell you all about the sponsor of today's show, Inside Injuries. If you want the edge in your fantasy league, download the Inside Injuries mobile app now. They give you the real scoop on MLB player injuries and tell you what to expect when a player returns from injury. They also give you the injury risk and tell you who to sit and who to start. Inside Injuries put orthopedic surgeons and data scientists together to build an algorithm that powers this app. You can crush the competition in your fantasy leagues and be in the know with Inside Injuries. You can get the app in the iTunes Store or Google Play. And all right, Nate, let's move back over and talk about the waiver wire. I want to start with Greg Bird here. He's been every bit as bad as Byron Buxton, even after that crazy hot spring and had all that hype. I've been holding on to both of them all season, but Greg Bird's now available in 80% of leagues. Are you picking him up right now?
Yeah, if you've got a bench spot that you can maybe stash a guy and just wait for him to kind of come back around. But he's not like a real high priority for me because he was so bad, and then now because he's injured, maybe there's a little bit of that going on. I mean, maybe one leads to the other, but there's so many sort of similar first base, and we're not going to say better that it's really as deep as it has been in past years. But I mean, there are other options, I think, that are just as good that aren't injured and didn't start as poorly as he did. Maybe, I mean, a guy like Mike Napoli who's starting similarly bad, but also has a good situation in Texas, who might be available. So
yeah,
I'm not sitting there, clutching onto him if there's another guy who's going to be playing for the next 10 days who's also available.
I'd prefer Greg Bird over Napoli and maybe wait 5 or 6 days because I don't think many people in your league are going to pick him up right now. But he's a guy I'd like to have. I think he's still going to hit 25 homers this year. He's always hitting the minor leagues. He hit in spring training. He was great in limited major league time, and I'm not ready to give up on him just because of, 60, 70 poor at bats. He's in a very good lineup, a great ballpark. I think Greg Berg's going to bounce back. I'd rather have him than a Josh Bell. I'd rather have him than Napoli. So he's one guy I do like. Now, somebody that I don't like that a lot of people are picking up is Keon Broxton. People were excited about him, maybe a guy who can hit 15, 20 homers, steal 20, 25 bases. He was really good in a small sample last year, but he's been a bum so far. Do you think he's going to bounce back?
I wouldn't bet on it just because we've seen this act before. And he has, I mean, he obviously last year, after being called back up, was really, really good, but still showed those holes, still struck out way too much. And so, when that's a consistent part of your game, the home runs and the steals, I mean, you need to get on base to steal bases and you need to make contact to hit home runs. So, I'm not holding my breath on him, though.
Now, one other guy that a lot of people are rushing to pick up, and I'm kind of laughing at this. I mean, I'm sorry if you did it. Like, I'm not trying to mock you, but I think it's a bad move. Marwin Gonzalez plays at a lot of positions. He qualifies at first, second, third, short, outfield. He's got 7 homers all of a sudden, and he's this big dude. Like, he looks like he can mash. When you watch the highlights, you think this is a great baseball player, but I'll tell you what, he's batting 230. This is what he's done throughout the major leagues. The power is kind of all of a sudden, but I don't think it lasts. Are you with me, Nate, or are you one of the guys picking him up?
No, I didn't go grab him. He did this early in the season. He had like 3 or 4 home runs through the first week, and so I thought maybe a lot of people would be jumping on him at that point. But the Astros lineup is just too good. I just don't see an avenue for him to get consistent at bats.
Agree.
And to to do something with his opportunity if he ever in the limited chance that he gets one. So, no, I mean, I'm not wasting a spot on him.
And he's going to be pushed back out of the lineup altogether as soon as they call up AJ Reed. It's only a matter of time. That boy can hit the ball.
Yeah, no, if it's not him, I mean, like I said, they've got plenty of options. Yuli Gurriel can play first base now, and You know, so there's too many good players. I think he's pretty valuable in the role that he's in for the Astros, but really, unfortunately for him, that's as kind of a super utility player.
Yeah, and Gurriel, even though he started so poorly, he's hitting like 340 now. This guy's on fire. I'm pumped about it. I'm really pumped about Gurriel because I've been hyping him up all off season, and it's a nice victory for me after the Byron Buxton disaster. Now, one guy who's kind of like Marwin Gonzalez, same type of skill set. He's got some pop. He doesn't really hit for average, but I'll tell you what, he's on fire right now, qualifies at a bunch of positions. You know the guy because you're from St. Louis, Jed Jerko, man. He was so hot last season, and I think he's earned himself some full-time playing. I mean, what are they going to do? Start Johnny Peralta over him?
No, he's one of those guys that you look at him and go, why did we ever sort of doubt him? I mean, why was this a question coming into the season after he had 30 home runs last year?
Yeah.
You know, that he didn't seem to have a place to play, or that, you know, that fantasy owners weren't looking at this guy and going, hey, this is a guy that should be owned in most leagues. So no, I mean, he's obviously proving that he's the real deal in terms of that he's got pop. I mean, and we all knew that, but he's making enough contact to make it stand up. He's hitting in the middle of the Cardinals order. They're not going to take him out. He's literally their best hitter right now. They're not going to take him out of the lineup. He's going to be playing every day.
Isn't that amazing?
Peralta comes back. So yeah, I know he's coming into the season, because like you said, because we live in St. Louis, I mean, we heard it and we paid close attention to it. He didn't, you know, it was like, well, he's going to be playing here and here, but he's not going to be in the lineup. And now you can't imagine taking the guy out of the lineup. So I think he's a guy that should be owned in most leagues.
Yeah, I agree. And he's available in a lot of leagues. This is actually my number one pickup at this point is Jed Jerko. You can play him at virtually every single position, and he's going to continue to rake. Now, like I said, he's probably going to bet 250, 260, but it's a cheap source of power at the middle infield position. Jump on it now. I'd rather own him than Elvis Andrus, and he's owned in like 90% of leagues. So it's time to pick up Jerko before it's too late. Now, another player like this, Josh Harrison, just kind of faded the past two seasons, and he's got some of the lowest exit velocities in the major leagues, but he's getting on base a ton. He's scoring runs. He's stealing some bags. Do you think that the real Josh Harrison is back, or is he just kind of fade back to what he was last season?
Yeah, I mean, he's always sort of a mildly interesting guy because he does have a varied skill set, but it never really excites me too much. And so I think that's kind of where I'm still at with him. Like if I need,
yeah. Well, I mean, what's his ceiling? Like 9-10 homers?
Yeah, I think so. And like 15 steals maybe. And that's, you know, that's fine. Like he's going to hit 260 or something. So, I mean, that's kind of, great, usable MI in a deep league, but that's about as far as I'm going to go.
Yeah. NL only leagues. Josh Harrison's probably already owned, but I'm not picking him up in a standard league. He's one of the guys a lot of people have been picking up. So, you know, the reason I bring him up on this show and guys like Marwin Gonzalez is just to tell you guys, like, don't just get so excited about 1 week's worth of production. Like, he's not a very good fantasy player. Just hang on to your guys. Hang on to your Greg Birds. Hang on to your Byron Buxtons. They're going to be fine. Josh Harrison's not really going to help you. One guy that I think is going to help you, whether or not O keeps the closer job there in St. Louis, is Trevor Rosenthal. Trevor Rosenthal's got 3 saves now. I think he's probably going to pick up, you know, 7-8 more saves the rest of the season, even if he doesn't take over the closer job. But he's striking out 18 per 9 innings right now. He's going to help you in ERA. He's going to help you in WHIP. Look, Trevor Rosenthal's owned in most leagues at this point. But if you're in one of those leagues where he's not owned, jump on him now. What do you think, Nate?
I'm less excited than you are maybe about him. You know, he's sort of on that long list of guys, you know, that we talked about earlier. I mean, Bearclaw and some of those guys who, like, you know, strike out a lot of guys, but really aren't good for saves, which, you know, I think, I mean, like I said, only 30 guys in the league are getting saves, but I think that maybe in those leagues, your bench spots or those pitcher spots are maybe better served for starters who are going to contribute more to your team. So, I mean, I mean, context is everything. If it's a deep league and guys like Trevor Rosenthal are owned, then he's near the top of that list. But, in a standard 10 team league, I'm not owning him.
I understand. Yeah, that makes sense. Now, Alex Wood has been cruising lately. Are you buying this at all? I mean, I'm seeing a mediocre pitcher who's just happening to put up pretty good stats.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's such an interesting, like, he was really good for the Braves, right? And then he went to the Dodgers and just sort of fell off the face of the earth. And he's been injured for so much of that.
Yeah.
He's been in the bullpen. He's been back in the rotation. So, I mean, no, I'm not, you know, buying this necessarily. I'm not running out and grabbing him or trying to get him on the cheap. Because you basically, if nothing else, because we haven't seen him sustain it. So until he proves he can do it, I guess I'll let someone else own him and let him prove it.
Yeah. Now, we're going to be talking about two more pitchers here, but I've got to say, like, the guys on the waiver wire in most leagues, I'm not excited about any of them, except for the guys who were drafted pretty high and have been dropped, like a Carlos Rodon. I mean, I know he might not come back for another 2 or 3 weeks, but I would much rather own him than the last guys on this list, Antonio Senzatella, Colorado Rockies. And look, you can look at his ERA and his whip, and it looks fine, but I'm looking at his Ks, and it looks terrible. His underlying stats suggest pretty significant regression. Now, he's not going to have an ERA above 4, probably, because he doesn't give up homers. Even though he pitches in Coors, that's really nice. He's probably going to get some wins, but I'm not excited about this guy. I'm not picking him up, and he's going in all these leagues all of a sudden. Are you one of the guys that's buying him, Nate?
No, I mean, I haven't even given one second of thought to picking him up.
It's got to be like a John Gray type of pitcher to succeed in Coors, right?
Yeah, and even that, I mean, yeah, right. He's sort of the exception to the rule. Otherwise, no, I'm not. And this guy, I just looked actually I was looking at the FIP leaderboard and the sort of the inverse of the FIP leaderboard, and he's one of the guys with the highest FIPs in the league among qualified starters. So no, I mean, he's bound for a crash, and it's going to be ugly when it comes.
Now, I feel the same way about Matt Cain. He's been pitching really well all of a sudden. We haven't seen this in, what, 5 years? I mean, Clinton, the producer's listening. He's a Giants fan. He probably wanted them to get rid of Matt Cain for a long time, but now he's pitching good all of a sudden. Like, what's the deal here?
No, small sample size, a handful of starts. You know, early in the season, maybe he's a little fresher, but I mean, this is another guy. You talk about injuries and perpetually injured guys. It's just basically waiting for the other shoe to drop. So, yeah. No, I mean, I if you want to stream him, you know, for a start against the Padres or something, cool. But otherwise, I'm not in.
That makes a lot of sense. All right, Nate. Well, that's all the questions we have for you today. Really appreciate you coming on the show. It was fun chatting with you, and looking forward to next time, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
It's our pleasure. Take care. And for those of you listening at home, we've got another show coming out this week with Dalton Del Don of Yahoo.com. Make sure to tune in for that one. Subscribe on iTunes if you haven't already. It really helps us out. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your baseball. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.